Back in July, when we traveled to Tokyo, we had a mission, we had a quest, and we have one hell of a football team, and I love you, God bless you, and thank you for being world champions.
Talk about being champions from July 7th. We're champions right now. We got one more to go. Congratulations for a tremendous effort.
I understood the 49ers from the standpoint of growing up as a kid, and so I understood kind of the emotion of the community, but at the same time, the inner workings of the 49ers way of doing things, and that I had grown up in it myself. I didn't really go into it with the idea I wanted to dramatically change anything. As my wife told me, you know, when I got the job, she said, George, don't screw it up.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot hold with them. Can't do it. I want winners. I want people that want to win.
The San Francisco 49ers, we can do whatever we want.
Don Landry, 6 yards away from his sixth Super Bowl. And of course, for the upstart 49ers, they're 6 yards away from Pontiac. Third and three. Montana looking, drawing in the end zone. It's a madhouse.
So now they've got to start from deep in their end of the field, and Garrison Hurst takes advantage of it. He takes the handoff, sweeps to his right, gets to the 20. He's at the 30, needs to cut in. He comes back up the right sideline, breaks the third tackle, comes down to the 30. He's down to the 20, he's down to the 10, he's down to the 5, he's into the end zone. Touchdown, 49ers! 96-yard run from scrimmage. Garrison Hurst breaking tackle after tackle, sweeps down the sideline.
Young, back to throw. In trouble, he's going to be sacked. No, gets away. He runs, gets away again. Goes to the 40, gets away again. To the 35, cuts back at the 30, to the 20, the 50, the 10. He dives, touchdown, 49ers.
They get another play. Three-man rush, and Young stumbles on the way back and fires up the middle. Pass is caught by Owens.
Takes the snap. Alex looking, got it, post, and it's good. Touchdown! Touchdown, 49!
But it's second down. Ryan takes the snap. Goes to slant to the left side. It's Russell intercepted. The 49ers pick it, and Navarro Bowman is rejected. Navarro Bowman running it all the way for the touchdown.
Second down and four. Kaepernick shoots it. Told everybody. Colin Kaepernick. What a game. Touchdown.
The San Francisco 49ers. We can do whatever we want.
This is Charles Haley. You're listening to Nothing But Nonsense.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, faithfuls? It's your boy Mike from the Nothing But Niners crew. Here to bring you guys another fun-filled podcast, man. Guys, I can't wait to get into this, man. I've been dying to get to you guys. I want to apologize for the hiatus. I've been off the videos. I've been off the podcast for a while. I've had a lot going on. But your boy is back, ready to get busy, man. I had to bring you guys a long four-minute intro, let you guys know what's going on, drop Charles Haley in there on y'all real quick. You know what I mean? And, man, I'm ready, guys. Like, I want to talk 49ers. There's so much I want to do, man. But first and foremost, I want to thank you guys for checking us out. If this is your first time with us, thank you so very much. This is the Nothing But Niners podcast, all right? So if you guys have never been here before and you've somehow found this, if you search 49ers in your little podcast app and you stumbled across here, thank you very much. This round of applause is for you. Thank you. I want to say thank you because you guys took the time out of your busy day to not only click, but to listen to what it is that I have to say. Now, I'm not going to ask you guys for a 5-star rating right now. But at the end of this podcast, if you like the content, I do want you to go back, give me a 5-star rating. That always helps out with the reviews. It helps people find us. And we can get more and more people listening and liking what this is that we do here. So again, my name is Mike from Nothing But Niners. You guys can check out the website. That is www.nothingbutniners.com. Okay. And there you're going to be led to all of our different social medias. We're on Twitter. We're on Snapchat. We're on. And both of those handles are Nothing But Nine ERS. That's Nothing But Niners. Okay. It's a little nine in there. You guys can check us out on Facebook and on Instagram. It's Nothing But Niners spelled all the way out. And we're even on YouTube, guys. We do a lot of player interviews on YouTube. That tends to be our little niche right there. That's our little corner of the market, okay? We get the player interviews, and a lot of good sites out there are getting player interviews, but we get them on camera. We bring you guys them face to face, so to speak. So you guys go over there and check that out. Search Nothing But Niners on YouTube, and make sure you subscribe to the channel. Hit the little bell button so you get the alerts every time we go live and things like that. Trust me, you'll thank me later, I promise. All right, so with no further ado, I want to get to this podcast, okay? So this is going to be one of multiple podcasts I'm going to drop this week, okay? I've been sitting around. I've been getting a little lonely. I've been getting a little bored, and I miss talking 49ers football. Last night at like 2 in the morning, I got hot. I couldn't sleep. I turned the fan on. My wife got upset at me. And you know what I did while she was upset? I grabbed the remote, and I started watching the 49ers-Rams game from week 17. That's how much I think about this team. At 2 in the morning, hot, sweaty, uncomfortable. I've got an angry spouse, and I'm watching 49ers. That's what I do, guys. That's how I feel about this team. And I'm sure that if you're listening to a 49ers podcast, you feel the same way. You have that same passion, that same conviction for this team. So this little series that I'm going to do, I'm going to bring you guys a couple of these this week. I'm going to probably try to do one every other day. I think doing them back to back to back can be a little bit too much. It could be a little bit overwhelming. So I'm going to try to do them every other day, okay? But I'm going to take position group by position group and try to predict how many of these players I think are going to make the active 53-man roster. I'm saying active, but the 53-man roster, we know they only make 46 active, but you guys know what I'm talking about, okay? Now, if you've been watching any of our latest YouTube videos, you know that Nick and I get into it often about one position and one player in particular, and that's Trent Taylor. So I feel like it's only right that I start with what you guys may be most familiar with, and then the wide receiver position, all right? So I'm going to start there. I'm going to break it down based off of things, how they went last year, what I expect them to be like this year, and, you know, just go ahead and get into it. Now, last year, the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan and his office, they kept 6 wide receivers. Now, we got the benefit of seeing a lot more than 6 of them play. When Pierre Garçon went down, like week 8, you know, we got to move some people up. Victor Bolden Jr. went down. We got to move some people up. And that gave us the ability to see guys like Kendrick Bourne, who were way down on the depth chart. And all of a sudden, that guy's suddenly a fan favorite. You know, all of a sudden people are like, yeah, that Kendrick Bourne guy, he's pretty good. He's going to be something special. He's going to be someone that we can use, someone that we can need. You know, and so fans are now looking for him to do big things. Oh, and he's feeling it too. If you guys are on his Instagram or if you're on his Twitter, that man's got swag, and he does not mind showing you guys. I'm working hard, I'm smiling, and I feel great about everything that's happening right now. So Kendrick Bourne is quickly growing in the hearts of the fans, and I'm one of them. I'm pulling for the young man. And so you look at Kendrick Bourne, count him as somebody that we hope makes the team. You have Trent Taylor and his contributions last year. This man was clutch, sure-handed, and great in short little areas, right? Can get open, get separation. When he puts that foot in the ground, boom, it's a turn like no one else on this team can do so far. We haven't seen it yet. We don't know what these rookies can do. We don't know what the new guys can do, but we haven't seen it yet. Trent Taylor absolutely has the best foot in the ground, make your move, get separation on that move. He has that better than anybody, and he's sure-handed. He doesn't drop the ball a lot, right? So you got him. You have Kendrick Bourne, all right? Then there's this new relationship that's brewing. And that's going to be the Pierre Garçon meet Jimmy Garoppolo relationship. These guys, yes, they're on the same team. Yes, they did some phenomenal things last year, but they never did it together. It's a relationship that we have yet to see come to fruition. Everyone's expecting and anticipating. We have no idea how it's going to look. We just assume it's going to be okay, right? Jimmy G, he's good. Pierre Garçon, he's good. We're just assuming it's going to work, right? But we don't know that for sure. Timing, rhythm. You know, Pierre Garçon was a lot of guys' safety blankets. When you looked at what Brian Hoyer was doing with him, you look at what C.J. Beathard was doing with him, that was the veteran. That was the go-to guy, right? But when Jimmy got there, who was the veteran on the field? Who was the go-to guy? It was the guy that had 49 career catches. Career. That was the go-to guy. That was the veteran. That was him. You know, people are going to say, oh, Aldrick Robinson was there. Aldrick Robinson wasn't the veteran on the field every play. It was Marquise Goodwin, right? So that takes me to the next guy, and Marquise Goodwin. So you got Kendrick Bourne, you got Trent Taylor, you got Pierre Garçon, you got Marquise Goodwin, right? Now the 49ers are going to keep him because he opens up the field. Just this past weekend, I was listening to some podcasts and listening to interviews and watching things on 49ers.com and their media page. And you heard the coach say, or maybe it was an interview that I listened to that had our GM and John Lynch. But you heard him say, let me tell you, man, Marquise didn't practice towards the end. And you can see the difference. The defense respects that speed and it changes everything. The windows all of a sudden were a lot tighter. Listen, the 49ers are well aware of what Marquise Goodwin brings to the table. Whether the ball is coming to him or not, the threat of that speed, Marquise Goodwin's going to make this team. He's hands down the fastest guy on this team, and he showed to be reliable once Jimmy Garoppolo got in there. He didn't look as good. He didn't. I'll be honest with you guys. To me, he didn't look as good with C.J. Beathard. I think his last game with Beathard was okay. No, that last game was pretty bad for everybody. The Giants game, he only had the one catch for like 83 yards. So he was up and down, though. He was up and down. But he showed that he could be a better route runner than what we thought. And his hands were a little bit better than what we thought. And the way the season started, I was ready to, oh, my God, this guy's going to be a bust. I can't believe we picked this guy up. Buffalo knew what they were doing. That's why he was only a deep threat. I mean, he dropped some easy passes to start the season. Those first 4 or 5 weeks, man, I was like, this guy, we got to get him out of here. But he relaxed. He composed himself. He got out of his own head and he went out and played. And it seemed like the more controversy that went on in his personal life, the better he played. I couldn't believe what this guy was going through. Week after week, it just seemed like there was a different story. You know, losing a family member, an unborn child, things like that were happening. And then he comes out and he plays his ass off. And he would have finished the season with 1,000 yards had it not been for a nasty hit in that last week 17 game that I just watched last night. All right. So I say all that to say this. You got Kendrick Bourne, that we hope. Trent Taylor, that we hope. Pierre Garçon, he's staying. Marquise Goodwin, he's staying. All right? You guys with me so far? That's four guys right there. Okay? Then we drafted somebody in the second round. Adante Pettis. The odds of Pettis not making this roster are slim to none just because this is a new regime. This is officially their guy. The odds of him not making this roster are slim to none. And what's he going to bring to the table? Well, there's a couple of things. He can bring special teams. He can play inside. He can play outside. He can play the slot, X, Y, Z receiver. You can put him pretty much anywhere on the field and he can play. And the fact is, if you listen to the rumors, he's been learning all of those positions. So what do we expect from this guy? Well, here's what I expect from him. I expect him to make the 53-man roster. I expect him to be a super weapon in kick returns and punt returns. Now, we all know about his NCAA accomplishments and the first player to ever have the touchdown, 9 touchdowns in the return game. But guess what? With these new kickoff rules, the new kickoffs suddenly are going to be more like punts because of how everything is spaced out and how you can't wedge block anymore and things like that. And oh, man, this is all going to favor the return man. And now that the Niners have taken a step back, they moved up to get this guy in the second round, he is going to look like the weapon that we need in the return game, whether it's punt or kickoffs. If he's not in that starting lineup, you best believe he should be out there returning punts and kickoffs. Absolutely, he should be out there. And because of the new kick return rules, it's going to be a lot like a punt return. All right? Listen, there's plenty of people out there talking about it. You guys want to hear someone else break it down. I'm sure you, let me try to think of a... I just recently listened to one. I believe it was the Locked On 49ers podcast with my guy over there. You guys go check it out. All right. Oh, and by the way, by the way, if you listen to Locked On 49ers, you guys make sure you get on Twitter and congratulate Peacock on having a baby. That is a beautiful thing. Very happy to hear slash see that. But Locked On 49ers, he did an episode where he broke down the new rules of the kickoffs. And he might have actually said it's going to be a lot like a punt return. And so if that's the case, that's the contribution that you're going to get from our second round pick in Dante Pettis immediately. Well, guys, that's five positions right there. So through five positions, through five now, that's five. We only kept six last year. Through five positions, we're already locked in, right? Then I'm listening to a different podcast, and I'm listening to a beat writer talk about the 49ers, and he mentions two receivers particularly that just completely blew my mind. I didn't expect him to say anything about these guys making the roster. Well, one of them I did, and that was Kendrick Bourne. But he threw another name out there, made it sound like he looked really good. Now it's early. No contact, no pads. We all understand that. So, guys, please keep this in context. I'm not saying that anything I'm saying is law, and that's going to be the way it is going forward. But I do want you guys to take a listen to this, okay? This is none other than our favorite beat writer. Well, one of my favorite beat writers, I should say, and Matt Burrows. All right, and he's on this is an episode from the Murph and Mac podcast. This one came out, at least on my podcast app that I listen to, came out on the 15th, all right? So it's just a few days old. But you guys, listen to what he had to say.
Bourne looked good. I think that he's got a very good chance to make the roster. I thought that Aaron Burbridge showed a lot of sort of grit. He's sort of a slightly smaller version of Pierre Garçon, and he plays special teams and plays it well. So I think that he's got a shot of making the final roster. They kept six wide receivers last year. Finding that six is a bit difficult, and I think that.
That, I'm going to stop there. Finding that sixth guy is going to be a bit difficult. Now, if what Matt Burrows is saying is correct, that's our guy right there, right? That's Aaron Burbridge. That's it. That's the sixth player right there. Now, we know that he was a big contributor in special teams before the injury. We know that he did that. We never saw him do much on the field. But the way Matt was talking about him just made me feel like he called him a mini Garçon. And it's weird when I heard him say that, because when I think of a guy like Kendrick Bourne, I think of a faster but mini Pierre Garçon. And I'm not talking about size. I'm talking about the way they play. I don't think Bourne plays with that physicality. You know, I think he plays with that heart. I think he plays with that tenacity. He has that, like, I want to be involved in everything. So if I'm not getting the ball, I want to block type of thing. And you see that with Pierre, you know? And so that was my comp on the team for Pierre Garçon. But now I'm hearing Matt Burrow say it about Aaron Burbridge. And I'm like, man, wow. Is that our sixth guy? Right? So let's just say that's our sixth. Well, let's reflect on who that means the team is going to be cutting, because if that's your six, there's going to be some good guys being released. So I'm going to go down this list in alphabetical order, okay? And we're just going to talk about whether or not they're going to make this based off of that six we said, and if there's somebody I'm going to swap out, okay? So here we go. Alphabetical order. First one is Aaron Burbridge. If your name is Aaron, okay, I have a brother-in-law whose name is Aaron, but it's spelled like the Hebrew way with one A, but for the most part, Aaron is spelled with two A's. My father's middle name is Aaron. It's got two A's in it. Every Aaron I've ever met, other than my brother-in-law, has it the same way. So, whatever. Aaron. Your name is Aaron. You're first of the list. You're first in line. Little interesting story. There's this place called Rent-A-Center, right? And their biggest competitor in New Jersey is a company called Aaron's. They rent out, they sell you furniture, but you can make payments on it. They sell entertainment and TVs and stuff like that. But the reason the owner of that company, this has nothing to do with 49ers, so please just stick with me on this little ramble, okay? The reason the owner of the company named it Aaron's wasn't because that was his name or his last name or someone he cared about. He just wanted to be first in the phone book. So he called his company Aaron's. How about that? All right. So anyway, Aaron Burbridge, he's the first guy in alphabetical order. And based off of what Matt Burrows was saying, he's got a good shot at making the team. So we're going to call him safe for now. The next guy is Aldrick Robinson. Aldrick Robinson is a veteran who was kind of followed Shanahan around for a couple of years, and he's got familiarity with the system, and he had some contributions last year. He also had some serious drops last year, and he didn't look good a lot of the times, but there were some times where he did actually look good. He came up clutch a couple of times on some key catches on some drives. So I wouldn't be heartbroken if I didn't see Aldrick Robinson make the roster. I mean, you know, he's coming in here. He's 187. He's 5'10". He's been in the league for 6 years. So, you know, it's not like he's super old, but he's not the spring chicken that, you know, that some of these other guys are. Because in comparison to Aaron Burbridge, who's 6'1", and he's been in the league for 3 years. So, you know, it's kind of a big difference. You got a 29-year-old wide receiver versus Aaron Burbridge, who's 24. You know what I mean? I'm not going to shed any tears over Aldrick Robinson not making the team. Let's keep it moving. Dante Pettis. All right. I talked about him already. Talked about his contributions and everything that I expect. Another 6'1 wide receiver who is going to be someone that I expect to see electrifying things from. I expect to see better speed than what we saw from him. Never mind. I'm not even going to go into that right now. That's another podcast for another time. But I expect to see some good things from Dante Pettis. All right. These young guys, the youth, that's what's going to be important. That's the movement that we're going with. 22 years old. Can't wait to see what he can do. Next on the list is Kendrick Bourne. You guys know how I feel about him. Another 6'1 wide receiver, 22 years old. Just like our rookie, right? This is second year in the league. Another year with the system. And you guys know that I love Kendrick Bourne, man. I mean, if you guys have been listening to me since I was doing the 49ers Gab podcast, you'll know that I find underdogs on the roster to cheer for, okay? And one of my underdogs was always Quentin Patton. Quentin Patton just, he would make a good play and he would do something very boneheaded right after. But if you watch Quentin Patton when he didn't have the ball in his hands, that's why he was my favorite guy. Excellent blocker. Even down the field, he's the first guy in the end zone with someone on a big play because he was running down there to block for them. And so that's why I love Quentin Patton. Well, guess what? Kendrick Bourne is now that guy. He does everything that I liked about Quentin Patton. He's great in blocking. He's selfless with his body. And even if the ball's not there, I said this all already. The ball's not coming to him. He doesn't care. He wants to be involved. So that's great. I love Kendrick Bourne. 6'1", Dante Pettis. 6'1", Aaron Burbridge. 6'1". We got the 6'1 boys here. Let's change it up a little bit. Next in alphabetical order is Marquise Goodwin. Already reflected on him. Okay? We know he's going to make this team. If he does nothing else, he doesn't have to catch a pass. He's the decoy. He's the deep threat. He is a guy that is going to keep defensive secondaries honest with us. Okay? So there's a use there. There's a need there. I don't expect Marquise Goodwin to have the season that he had last year. Let's talk about that for a second. All things being equal, all things being fair, Marquise Goodwin and Pierre Garçon should have been 1,000-yard receivers last year. I don't think that Marquise Goodwin is going to be a 1,000-yard receiver this year. It's not that I don't think he's capable. It's not that I don't think he's able. It's not even that I don't think Jimmy would want to get him the ball that much. But I think that we're going to have so many weapons this year, we're going to be spreading the ball around a lot more. A lot more. There's going to be very capable guys when they get the ball in their hands, and that's going to make it harder for a wide receiver like Marquise Goodwin to get 1,000 yards. If Pierre Garçon was healthy all season long, Marquise Goodwin doesn't come close to that 1,000-yard mark, in my opinion. I obviously have no way of proving that, okay? But I'm just letting you guys know what I see and what I saw. I saw Marquise Goodwin step up in a very big way. He went from wide receiver 2 to wide receiver 1, and he held us down. He all of a sudden became a good route runner. He all of a sudden became a dependable guy, even on third downs. He had some very, very good plays to move the chains on third downs after Garçon went down. And so you take that aspect away, Garcon's going to be the strong hand, the fight for tough yardage guy, and you assume Trent Taylor is also. That's just a couple more passes that aren't going Marquise's way. So I don't think Marquise Goodwin gets that 1,000 yards, but I do expect him to have some good plays. I expect him to get some, if Jimmy Garoppolo can develop better, I expect him to get some more downfield plays, some more big explosive plays, not necessarily coming off of deep passes, but some screens and things like that, where he's taking it to the house, you know, 60 yards, 64 yards, things like that. All right. The next wide receiver in alphabetical order is Max McCaffrey. All right. Now, his father did play for the 49ers at one point, but that's not going to be enough to get you here. He's also the tallest wide receiver so far at 6'1". But wide receiver Max McCaffrey, I mean, listen, this guy's been in the NFL for 2 years. He's 24 years old, played at Duke. But there's not much that he's going to be able to do for us this year. At least I don't see it. Now, again, we haven't seen any preseason. And when it all comes down to it, he's going to have to do something phenomenal to make this roster when it's all said and done. All right. Next is our hometown guy. I'm saying hometown, but the 49ers, like, pride and joy at the wide receiver position, in Pierre Garçon. This is the guy that Kyle Shanahan went out and recruited. This is the guy that Kyle said, if I get my own team, I want him in my offense. Pierre Garçon, guys, 6 foot even, 211 pounds now. Pierre's coming off of a neck injury. He's 31 years old. He's been in the league for 11 years. He's got a lot of miles on those legs. He's played with some really good quarterbacks. He's played with some guys who aren't afraid to air it out, from Peyton Manning. From Peyton Manning to Kirk Cousins, he's going to be here now for you. Brian Hoyer, C.J. Beathard, and now Jimmy Garoppolo. This is going to be interesting, man. This is going to be very, very interesting. I can't remember. You know what's confusing me about Pierre Garçon? Was he there with RG3? That timeline is so close right there. So close. I can't call it. I honestly can't remember. But either way, he's caught some passes from some guys who aren't afraid to sling the rock. And he's going to be critical for us. He's going to be crucial. He's not a guy who drops a lot of passes. And he's going to be those solid, sturdy, regular hands that we need. All right. Moving right along. Richard James. Now, guys, I haven't released this podcast yet, but you can already go to YouTube and check it out. www.youtube.com/C/NothingButNiners. It'll take you to our page, and we have folders there. And underneath the folders, one of them is going to be called Player Interviews. And inside the Player Interviews folder, it's going to be an interview with Richie James. Zach and Nick did an interview with him. It was one of my favorites. Maybe it's because I wasn't involved and I got a chance to sit back and listen more attentively, maybe. But I love this interview. I mean, oh, they were making jokes with him and everything. You guys go check it out. I am going to turn that into a podcast for you guys very soon after I do this breakdown position by position, try to predict the roster, okay? But you guys go check that out. It will be in podcast form later, though, I promise. So his name on here is Richard James. He goes by Richie James. I'm Rich James, bitch. All right, so he's a 5'9 guy. He's 185. He's a rookie coming in here from Middle Tennessee State, okay? 22 years old. He's an old-ass rookie. All right, so here's my thing about Richie James. He talks a lot about Antonio Brown, and I get it, the size, right? That's why they do it. You know, you think small wide receivers that were successful. You think Antonio Brown. You think Steve Smith, right? Richie James wants to model himself after those guys. And he says that I think I play a lot like that. But I try not to buy into that. You're never going to say that you play like a 5'9 wide receiver who flamed out of the NFL. But Richie James is special, guys. He absolutely is special. He's put up some numbers in college that are phenomenal. I'm not going to try to sell you guys on him at all. But I will say this. If you want to, you can go back and review the film. Go look at the tape. Go type in Richie James highlights. He's got some out there. They are very, very impressive. And the other thing I'm going to say, I'm going to leave it with this, is that, one, if he made the team, I wouldn't be surprised. I'll be honest with you guys. I would not be surprised. I think he is exactly what Kyle Shanahan loves. And this guy was undrafted. He's not someone that we went out and said, oh, you know what? We got to have him. Let's spend a third or fourth round pick on him. But, you know, the 49ers did go out and they sought him out. They picked him up. And I'm super happy about it. Like, you can't be, I'm trying to think of how I want to phrase this. I said he was undrafted. I lied, by the way. He was one of our last picks. He was a seventh round pick. I'm sorry. But the way I want to phrase it, you can't be afraid to stand out. And that's the kind of mentality that he has. He's not coming here thinking, oh, well, I was, you know, the last guy picked in the draft, and, you know, I might as well have been undrafted, so they don't expect much from me. No, he's going to come in here. He's going to play. He doesn't care the position. He doesn't care the time. He doesn't care how. He wants to get on the field and he wants to play. And I love that attitude. And I wouldn't be surprised if he made this roster. I wouldn't be surprised at all. He's a guy who can play in the slot. He's a guy who can do returns. He's very, very valuable. He's got more speed than, I mean, Richie James is Trent Taylor with more speed and athleticism, but his hands aren't as good as Trent Taylor's. And I'm not sure his route running is as good as Trent Taylor's. All right. So, or getting in and out of breaks, I should say. Route running. Okay. So if you guys ever hear me talk about route running, I am talking about getting in and out of breaks only. I don't know the route. I don't know the depth and the breaks that they were supposed to take, but all I can look at is how well they do break when they do break. All right. So that's what if you ever hear Mike talking about route running, that's specifically what it is. I'm never going to say that this guy's a good route runner. I don't know the routes they're supposed to run exactly. I don't know exactly how they were drawn up, so I'll never say it. If a guy runs a 14-yard route, but it was really a 15-yard route, well, that's 3 feet. That's a big difference to a quarterback who is throwing a timing route, right? So I can't say, oh, he runs good routes, or that was good enough, or it was close. I'm never going to be that guy. But I can say, like, oh, he comes in and out of his breaks. He gets separation when he puts his foot in the ground. So to that, I will tip the hat, the hands and the route running so far to Trent Taylor. But as far as the athleticism goes and the ability and the positions that they can play, he does everything else. So I wouldn't be surprised if he makes his roster. But Richie James, as of right now, looks like to be the guy on the outside looking in who has some potential. All right. But I really like Richie James, man. He's putting on some more weight, getting his weight up a little bit. So ready to play in the NFL. He went from 175 to 185. I mean, let's see what he's got. Next up is Stephen Dunbar. Stephen Dunbar, if you guys check out the website, www.nothingbutniners.com/blog, you scroll down the page a ways, you're going to see an article there by Alex, and he broke down a lot about Stephen Dunbar. And Alex was, you know, he put this thing in there, and this guy in the group chat, he says it every time. Every time someone says the 6'3 wide receiver Stephen Dunbar, it's like it's his pet peeve. Alex is like, guys, he's 6'1. Guys, he's 6'1. And he got this because on the pro day, it's how they wrote down his height. They wrote it down as 6'1. Okay. But we can't seem to get 6'1 from anyone else. Nowhere else does it say this guy is 6'1. So, Alex, if you're hearing this, I'm trying, bro. I'm trying to spread your message. And if it comes out that he's actually only 6'1, you'll get the credit for it. Okay. You'll be the one who broke the news. Okay. But if not, dude, you got to let it go. You got to let it go. All right. But Stephen Dunbar is a guy who had some promise, and he's someone who is on paper the tallest wide receiver that we have on the team. All right. I don't have a lot of expectations for him, but like I said, you guys check out that article that he wrote. It'll give you a little bit more insight on him and who he is and the kind of things that he's gone through. It's not bad. It was a very fun article to read. Okay. I think that a guy who was coming from Houston, and like I said, he, from what I understand, and this may be where the 6'3 thing is coming from, he played bigger than what he actually is. Now, if he's 6'3 and they're saying that he played bigger than what he actually is, then that's pretty impressive. So you want to get a guy like that for your red zone threat and things like that. Okay. I did watch some of his highlights. I can't say that I pulled up a bunch of Houston film and watched him, you know, in great depth and details and all. No, I'm not going to lie to you guys and pretend to be some film junkie. Okay, that's not who I am. I watch and I talk about it. That's what I do. I don't do in-depth analysis. I'm far too busy to do that. I'm sorry. No insult to people who have time to do that, but I'm not one of those people. So when I watch someone, if someone sends me some film or they send me a game or something like that they want me to watch or a breakdown, I have no problem watching it and give you an honest opinion. I saw Stephen Dunbar Jr., and it's not that I wasn't impressed, but I wasn't overly impressed. There was nothing that really wowed me about him. I didn't see him get consistent separation in the highlights and things that I watched. I did see him compete for 50-50 balls, and he won them in all of the things because it was a highlight reel. I'm sure there were some that he lost, though, so I can't give you guys a fair assessment of him. If I had to tell you guys anything about him, it was that, you know, not bad. I've definitely seen better, but I've also seen worse. Not on the highlight reel, but I've definitely seen worse. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm looking forward to watching him on the field with Richie James in the third and fourth quarters of preseason games. All right. I'm very excited about seeing that happen. We're almost done this list, guys. This podcast is already going on. I'm trying to keep it under 45 minutes, so bear with me. We're almost done. The next guy up is Trent Taylor. Now, we said that Trent Taylor was safe here, right? And again, if you guys listen to or watch the YouTube channel, you guys are going to know already, Nick and I get into this about this guy a lot. The reason is because if Trent Taylor didn't make all these phenomenal chain moving catches on third down, would we be as enamored with him? Would we feel like Trent Taylor is 100% locked to make this team? I'm just curious to know if that's how we would feel. All right. I mean, he's a good guy, and I'm not going to lie to you guys. I like him. I want you guys to be able to listen to me and not think that I'm crazy, not think that I'm stupid, or think that I'm a hater. I don't hate anybody on the 49ers roster. I'm not stupid. Well, that's a matter of opinion, I guess, right? But I'm always honest. I'm not going to say that a guy is safe just for the sake of saying said guy is safe. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be that guy. And Trent Taylor, for all that it's worth, really didn't do a whole lot last year. He averaged 10 yards a reception. He had 2 touchdowns for 430 yards. Now, again, good route runner, consistent hands, good strong hands, and he showed signs of great field awareness. There was a couple of sideline plays that he had where, some other receivers may have stepped out of bounds and he didn't do that, okay? But he doesn't have the breakaway speed, which is reflected in his 10 yards per catch. He wasn't that stellar of a return man. And you're going to get some guys who say, oh, well, look at the stats. Look at the stats. He averaged 7 yards a return, or, you know, that's decent. Yeah, okay, I hear you. But never did I ever feel that Trent Taylor was going to take one to the house. Never did I ever feel that if you got him the ball in space, he can take it 60 yards. I just didn't. Never felt that way. Trent Taylor is what I expect a tight end to be. That's who Trent Taylor is as a wide receiver. Someone I expect a tight end to be. Give me good hands. You don't have to be fast and break away from people. You're going to run, cover up the ball to make sure they don't strip it out and go to the ground when they catch you. You're going to get run down from behind all the time. He's a 5'8 guy. I love and appreciate everything he's done. Okay, so I want you guys to understand me fully. Now, do I think he's safe? No. No, I do not. Because, hear me out, with the 6 receivers that we're going to have coming in, and with the introduction of Dante Pettis into this offense, which is going to happen, that's going to happen by force. This team isn't moving up in the second round for anybody and to not play them. That's going to happen by force, okay? With a healthy Pierre Garçon back in the mix, Trent Taylor is seeing a significant reduction in targets and receptions. He caught 43 last year. I think that we're asking way too much of Trent Taylor to duplicate those numbers. You have Dante Pettis now in the mix. You have Pierre Garçon now in the mix for a full season. I'm assuming everyone is healthy, obviously. God, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, this guy's going to be injured by week 8 or 9. I'm not doing that. I'm assuming a healthy full season from everybody. Trent Taylor is not likely to get those same 43 receptions, 430 yards. It's just not likely to happen. And so what are we realistically expecting? 32 receptions, 320 yards? Well, is that worth making the team then? Is that worth making the team where you can maybe potentially get another guy like, I don't know, Richie James, who can take that same 10-yard pass, break a tackle, and take it to the house? You know, what makes him safe? Well, another thing that made him safe was his ability to return punts. Well, guess what? We got Richie James. Guess what? We got Dante Pettis. Guess what? We picked up another DB with a Reed or Moore who also returns kicks and was pretty damn good at it. So we don't necessarily need him for that either. I'm not saying that Trent Taylor's not going to make the roster, but I'm not saying that it's a guarantee that he doesn't either. All right. I'm not saying that he's going to make it. I'm not saying he's not going to make it. Let me continue and then I'll come back to this. All right. So the last name on the list of 49ers wide receivers in alphabetical order is Victor Bolden Jr. Now, Victor Bolden Jr. was a very important player on our special teams last year, and his presence and absence was recognized immediately. All right. Between him and Aaron Burbridge, one of those guys should make the team. special teams is definitely still a part of the NFL game. It's 1/3 of it, and they're going to be there. Those are going to be the contributors. So you pick from those two. You can flip a coin. You can call it however you want. Don't expect either one of them to do much on the field as a wide receiver, but special teams is where they're going to make their mark. Now, if I had to choose between the two, one guy is 5'8", meanwhile, the other guy is 6'1", got a little bit more weight and is not coming off of as significant of an injury. I'll take Aaron Burbridge. But guys, man, this is going to be tough. All right. So when I started this whole thing, it was, if those are your starting six, and I was talking about Aaron Burbridge, Kendrick Bourne, Trent Taylor, Dante Pettis, Pierre Garçon, Marquise Goodwin. So if those are your starting six, you're going to be letting go of some good guys. Well, those good guys are going to be Aldrick Robinson, Max McCaffrey, Richie James, Stephen Dunbar, and Victor Bolden Jr. Those are some really good names to just throw back out there. And if they shine at all in the preseason, someone's going to grab them up. Look for the Cowboys to be grabbing any wide receiver that looks good. Any wide receiver. There's teams out there that are going to be looking, and they're going to be poaching. Oh, the Patriots? The Patriots are definitely watching. The Patriots are 100% watching and going to grab someone's wide receiver. All right? The Lions are going to grab someone's wide receiver. The Seahawks are going to grab someone's wide receiver. There's teams out there that are going to be definitely picking people up on the first and second wave of cuts. All right? So let's go back. Of all those players that we named, if I had to take one out to switch it out and put someone else in, who would that one player be? Well, it's going to be Aaron Burbridge, right? But I'm going to swap him for the other special teams guy in Victor Bolden Jr. So let's say the special teams position is safe, whether it be Burbridge or Bolden Jr., because I told you guys I would take Burbridge, right? So that leaves me with Trent Taylor, Garçon, Goodwin, Bourne, Pettis. Well, Pettis, they invested too much in, right? And I feel the same way about Trent Taylor, believe it or not. I feel like he is a draft pick that they want to see be good in this league. They don't want to let him go. So I think Trent Taylor is someone that they handpicked. Pierre Garçon, well, we owe him too much money. He's safe. Kendrick Bourne, he showed so much promise, so much promise. But if we got Pierre Garçon back, do we need him? And then there's Marquise Goodwin. Well, Marquise Goodwin and his speed, they're gonna be here. They're not going anywhere. So that looks to me like my new favorite wide receiver is the man on the outside looking in. Looks like Kendrick Bourne may not make this roster. All right. Now, if he doesn't make the roster, then who's going to be the replacement? Is it going to be Stephen Dunbar, the guy who plays big like Kendrick Bourne does? Or is it going to be Richie James? I personally would make it Richie James. I like the athleticism, the speed, the spark, and the emotion that James plays with. I love it. And I would prefer to have him here. Now, here's the interesting thing. If I keep Richie James and I keep the lineup the way it is, I have a 5'9 Richie James and I have a 5'8 Trent Taylor. Both of these guys do the exact same thing. All right, so Kendrick Bourne's gone. If we're doing that exercise based off of the way I just did it, Kendrick Bourne is the odd man out, right? But I'm keeping him for Richie James. Or I'm getting rid of him for Richie James. But I kind of have a Richie James clone. If he's good enough to make the team, it means he's got decent hands, and they feel semi-confident in his route running, right? So why am I going to keep Richie James and Trent Taylor? There's an inch difference and 5 pounds. One guy is way faster than the other, way more athletic than the other. Why would I keep them both? So here's what I would do. Ignore the draft position. Ignore what they did last year and all that. You got to get rid of Trent Taylor, replace him with Richie James, and let Kendrick Bourne make the roster. Mike's final six for the wide receiver position group is going to be Aaron Burbridge, Dante Pettis, Kendrick Bourne, Marquise Goodwin, Pierre Garçon, and last but certainly not least, Richie James. Ladies and gentlemen, clap it for those guys. Congratulations to those six wide receivers. You just made Mike's final six players to be on the 49ers 53-man roster. You guys deserve it. Keep up your hard work. We're going to be looking forward to doing a lot more, okay? Thank you guys. Okay. Enough of your applause. Now, guys, this was all said and fun, tongue in cheek, just to keep things interesting. I'm going to do this with all the other positions, too. I'm going to try to make it so that I shock you guys with who my cut guy is. So tonight, my shocker cut was Trent Taylor. I even did a Twitter poll. I talked about how Matt Burrow said his thing and, you know, based off of what he was saying, who's going to be the surprise cut. And I put a lot of names in there. I asked people about, you know, who do you think is going to be? Who's going to be the surprise cut? And I listed all the wide receivers. And you know what the unanimous, like the overwhelming answer was? The overwhelming response was, Mike, stop it. The only player that would be a surprise cut on this list is Trent Taylor. No one will be surprised if Aldrick Robinson was gone. No one will be surprised if Richie James was gone. No one will be surprised if Dunbar or Bolden Jr. were gone. It's Taylor. Taylor's the only surprise. So I asked who they thought was likely to be cut, and the answer overwhelmingly was Bolden Jr. But in a very, very, very close second, it was Aldrick Robinson. And then it was Dunbar, and then it was Taylor. So you guys have spoken. You fans have made it very, very clear who it is that you guys think is going to be here. You guys think Taylor's going to make it. And for the sake of shock value and to get you guys talking, tell your people how crazy Mike is from Nothing But Niners, this fool thinks that Trent Taylor is going to get cut. Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. All right? So I'm out of here, guys. Thank you guys for listening. Charles, let them know who they're listening to. Charles, I said let them know who you're listening to, bro.
This is Charles Haley. You're listening to Nothing But Niners.
All right. And I'm going to take us home with the old intro that we're going to have to get a new one done for. But in case you guys never heard it before, this was our intro at the beginning of last season, before all the injuries and before everybody in this song was no longer on the team. Check it out. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Let's go. Come on.
Let me sound off in the beginning. We ain't losing, we back to winning. Hometown love been repping from the start. Nothing but Niners, red and gold in my heart. And we go hard when it's time to play. May have left Frisco, but ain't left the Bay. Kyle Shanahan time, can he bring us back to get our sixth ring? Imagine that. Light shine bright at Levi whenever it's game day. Take a hit from Bowman, calling it Mayday. Eric Reed ball out, getting the picks. New year, Garcon going deep for six. Can't forget about Hyde when he toting the rock. While Robinson outside, keeping it locked. Had a lot of legends, time to make some new ones. Nothing but Niners, haters come and get some. Yeah.
I'm so sorry that we named all those people in that intro and none of them except Garcon made it to this season. And he didn't even finish. The one guy who made it to this season didn't even finish the season. He got hurt in his eighth game. So that song will sadly be laid to rest. That might be the last time you guys hear it. We're going to give it the sad trombone and get it up out of here. Thank you guys for listening. And again, if you were entertained by what you heard, you don't have to like it. You don't have to agree. You guys can send us some comments. I am on Twitter at 49ersMike_NF. NF as a Niner fan. So you guys can check me out over there. Give me a follow. Give us a follow on the actual Twitter handle. Nothing but 9ERS. Nothing but Niners over there on Twitter. We love to interact with you guys and talk to you guys about some things. All right. I want to thank you guys for your time so far. And if you liked it, again, leave us that 5-star rating. I'm up out of here.